Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Faces of TBI podcast series. I am Amy Zellmer, founder of Faces of TBI and your host. Faces of TBI is a podcast series for survivors by survivors, raising awareness about traumatic brain injury, one podcast at a time. Today, I'll be chatting with Dr. Michael Lovitch about understanding functional neurology. Those of you who may not know who I am a TBI survivor from a fall on the ice in February 2014. I'm a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Thrive Global, and the Goodman Project, and I am author of Life with a Traumatic Brain Injury, Finding the Road Back to Normal, which is available on Amazon, and I recently launched the Brain Health Magazine. Grab your free digital subscription at thebrainhealthmagazine.com. You can learn more about me and the podcast at facesoftbi.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Amy Zellmer, and don't forget to join my Facebook group, Amy's TBI Tribe, to connect with other survivors, caregivers, and loved ones. Today, my guest is Dr. Michael Lovitch, and he is a board-certified chiropractic functional neurologist and board-certified chiropractic sports physician. He holds an MS in sports medicine with additional training in brain-based functional medicine and functional movement-based rehabilitation. He has served as a medical director and on medical staff for various organizations and events in professional, amateur, collegiate, and high school athletics. He specializes in integrating the physical aspects of sports medicine and chiropractic care with the neurological and physiological systems that are often overlooked. He is owner of Delta S Performance Functional Neurology and Sports Medicine with clinics in Denver and Boston metro areas. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, really happy to have you here today and just kind of really dig into the topic of functional neurology and like what it is, because I get asked all the time, you know, what's the difference between functional neurology and regular neurology? So I'm really thrilled to have you here today to break it down a little bit for our listeners. But first, I'd love to have you share with us just how you came to work in this brain injury realm.
Sure. So I was in chiropractic school and I started learning all about anatomy, physiology, and clinical diagnosis, and I felt like there was still something missing. So I ended up doing that master's in sports medicine on top of it, and it plugged some of the holes, but I still felt like there was more to know because, you know, sometimes the way diagnosis works is you figure out what their symptoms are, you do some tests, you have all the positives and negatives, you give them a label. That label we call a diagnosis, and then after you have that label, you sort of throw away all your tests from the beginning, and then you come through with a treatment plan based on the label. And I felt like it can be a lot more fine-tuned than just saying, hey, you have a concussion, so you get either treatment A, B, or C. And so then I jumped into functional neurology after shadowing at Glenn Zielinski's office a couple times and seeing to put it simply, some headaches turned off with two thumbs and a clipboard. And I realized there's more to it than all the fancy treatments. Sometimes you just have need to have a better understanding of what's going on inside the brain. So this all really started for me afterwards, because you said you got your concussion in February of 2014. I got mine 2 months later in April. I caught an edge skiing on Mount Hood in 2014, and I went to a bunch of different doctors, and everyone was like, oh, you look fine, everything's normal, except normal for me wasn't normal for the average population. So I was watching my grades slide backwards. I was watching changes that weren't deemed pathological, but at the same time, I knew there was something wrong with me. So I decided at that point to jump 2 feet into functional neurology and really learn this, because clearly there's a shortage of people who are TBI literate.
Yeah. Yeah. And absolutely true. I mean, I probably saw, I don't know, 20 to 30 different doctors in 18-month period. And, you know, like you said, they'd be like, oh, you know, you just have to give it more time. No, just give it more time. Oh, you know, your eyes are fine. This is fine. That's fine. And the neuropsychologist went so far as to say, you know, maybe I didn't try hard enough on my neuropsych exam because I scored worse than a dementia patient with my short-term memory, which had been one of my biggest complaints. I could not, like, my short-term memory was just, like, gone. And it was so incredibly challenging to function that way. And the neuropsychologist wanted to put me on antidepressants. She told me I was just depressed. And I was like, but no, how is that going to fix my brain injury? And it was really frustrating. And then, you know, fast forward to 2.5 years and I found Dr. Schmo in functional neurology who, you know, they get it. And it's like, man, why don't more doctors get this? Like, why don't traditional doctors understand any of this? So, yeah, I'm so thankful that there are doctors like you out there.
Yeah. And at the same time, it's not like those doctors are not doing the best that they can with the information that they have. The way I look at
it, I'd argue with that to a point.
Of course. To a point. But the way we look at it is my mission for my clinics is to stop being Dr. 20 and be Dr. 5 or 6. Because I would argue that although maybe the medical approach to TBI, the individuality of TBI, is not as accurate and precise as it can be, they are looking for more dangerous things going on most of the time. They're looking for brain bleeds. They're looking for tumors. They're looking for infections. They're looking for things that are potentially life-threatening. And if those aren't there, then the medical system isn't really set up to support patients and get them back to health. It's set up to keep patients from dying or keep patients from living in a very debilitated state where, like we know, that mental health doesn't get enough attention. So does brain injuries. Because remember, and like your experience with a neuropsychologist, we actually work with one inside the Lyme and Pans Treatment Center in Cohasset, Massachusetts. We work with chronic Lyme and we work with Pans and Pandas patients and TBI patients. And we have a very good collaborative approach because while she focuses on the psychological aspect of it, we're able to come in from the neurophysiological aspect and provide a little more holistic approach of more than just the mind, and we can actually look at the brain as well. And we found that it's been really helpful for some patients. But what it comes down to is, what is our place as functional neurologists in the healthcare system? I view it like this. Medical neurologists are going to do a series of tests. They're going to figure out if your brain is working or is not working, and then they give you a diagnosis based on that. And we've already covered some of the limitations of the diagnosis. However, what we do as functional neurologists is we go through a lot of the same tests, actually. But we're looking to see how well is it working. If one area is firing a little too high and one area is firing a little too low, what does that mean in the big picture? And what does it mean from an individual circuit? And how can we improve that as opposed to, this is what your problem is, sit and wait until it gets better on your own?
Yeah. And, you know, going back to my experience with the neurologist, I got into the neurologist at about 8-9 weeks after my injury. And, you know, she did the tests, like close your eyes, touch your pinky to your nose. And I couldn't do it. Like, and that, I remember that shocking me. I was like, whoa, what just happened? And like walking heel to toe. And I basically would fall over. I couldn't do heel to toe. And she did a couple other, you know, I mean, I spent a total of like 20 minutes with her. And she sent me out for an MRI, which came back clear. And so she told me, well, there's nothing we can do for you. You know, you just have to give this more time. Come back in 6 months. go back in 6 months. Well, there's really nothing we can do for you. You know, come back in 6 months. And it was so frustrating. I'm like, why aren't we doing anything? Like, I was like, I even asked, like, should I have PT, OT, some sort of therapy? Like, shouldn't we be doing something? And she's like, well, no, there's really nothing we can do for, you know, for a concussion. And I'm like, I remember just thinking that that didn't make sense to me. And I kept complaining something was wrong with my eyes. So she did send me to the neuro-ophthalmologist who, you know, he did like an hour of testing on me and told me my eyes were fine. Which, you know, acuity was fine. I could see, but I knew something wasn't right. And I kept explaining, I felt my eyes were what was causing me to be dizzy. And I was told by the neuro-ophthalmologist that that's basically not possible. And then I was sent to the Dizzy and Balance Center, who told me I just had positional vertigo, and they kept doing the Epley maneuver on me, which I later learned that, you know, the Epley maneuver, if you do truly have positional vertigo, it's, if, you know, like 90% effective in two treatments. So if it's not helping after two treatments, you probably don't have positional vertigo, which is, you know, crystals in the ears. So, you know, they just kept doing this Epley maneuver on me and they weren't doing anything else. So I just stopped going. I'm like, this is pointless. You know, and then I've already talked about the neuropsychologist and she was supposedly like the TBI expert in within this clinic. And it still just kind of blows me away that she told me I was just depressed. You don't really have a brain injury. You know, so story is not unusual. Some people are fortunate and find the right doctor early on. Some people find the right, you know, I've heard people getting sent to the neuro-ophthalmologist and they send them to vision therapy, which is great. You know, I wished I'd have gotten vision therapy early on, you know, who knows how it would have changed my treatment trajectory. But, you know, I'm just so thankful I finally found functional neurology. And, you know, he did a 2-hour exam with me, which no one had spent more than 20, 30 minutes with me. And he was like, yeah, it's your eyes. They're not working together. And I remember just looking at him like, for real? Like, you believe me? He's like, oh yeah, I believe you. He's like, it's, you know, 90% of people with a brain injury have eye tracking problems. And I'm like, so why doesn't anyone else know this? Like, you know, it blew my mind that the neuro-ophthalmologist wouldn't know that. Right. And you know, it just really got me going on this mission of trying to help people understand functional neurology and hopefully they can find it sooner than I did. Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. No matter how far out you are in your recovery, you can always, always see improvement. The neuroplasticity of our brain is amazing. And no matter how far out you are, you can always benefit from functional neurology. But, you know, the sooner you find it, the less time you have to struggle, right? That's kind of my point.
Right, and exactly. And I think the goal here is how do we improve collaboration, because like you said, the neurologist said, well, there's nothing really we can do. And even if the neurologist said there's nothing we can do in our model, however, you should see somebody who practices this at a high level, or functional neurology at a high level, then because what's the actual risk associated? So let's look at it from this perspective. So I was talking to Christopher Giza at a conference in Southern California. If you read publications about brain injury, his is like one of the top ones that come up, him with Dr. Letty out of Buffalo. And there are and Dr. Haza, who's on a lot of papers with Dr. Giza. There are a lot of things that are being thrown around out there as you should do this for brain injury. But maybe going to a practitioner that would be a little more effective. So what I asked Dr. Giza was, let's say, like, how do you determine whether or not you would refer to a patient or refer to a doctor? And he said the first thing that he'd be looking for is a bunch of randomized controlled studies to show effectiveness. the problem with functional neurology is that because it is so individualized and so fine-tuned, and we have so many variables in this multivariable system, that it's really hard to really isolate one variable and say an ocular pursuit to the right is going to change this and only this X percent of the time by this amount. So that's one thing that's going to make it tough. That's why it's so important for the functional neurology community to produce case studies on a level that may lead to some sort of randomized control study and some sort of meta-analysis after that. The second thing that he said was, if there wasn't a double-blind randomized control study, you'd have to look and see what risk is it to the patient. And it's not just health risk, but financial risk. And if it is of low risk to the patient or appropriate risk to the patient, then he may recommend that. So from our perspective, that we've sort of follow those guidelines in how we set up our appointments. We know that functional neurology really is low risk to the patient from a health perspective. You're doing rehab exercises. You're doing a combination of vestibular rehab, visual rehab, cognitive rehab, and physical rehab. And through the combination of those three, from a brain perspective, if you're working with somebody who knows what they're doing and can see fatigue points before they happen and can see or before the patient feels it, then there's a chance that patients can get better without getting worse first, which is a huge paradigm shift for most people thinking, oh, well, you go to the gym, you work out with fatigue, the next day you have muscle soreness, but no, that means it worked. When you're working the brain, having soreness the next day may not be the most effective way for rehabilitation. It may be that a fatigue point was missed and the practitioner needs to be cognizant and aware of that. And then we have our pricing structure in our office set up where everything starts with an initial exam. We spend 90 minutes to start. If we need extra testing, we'll do an extra 30 minutes of balance and oculography testing, which is where you throw the person in the goggles and you measure eye movements, which I'm sure you've had.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is everything starts with that because we like to make things a little more bite-sizable. I know some clinics, they charge like $20,000 for 2 weeks of rehab. And while there is a demographic of people who are looking for that, like the top tier, like they spent the most, so they're getting the best treatment. I look at it like, well, if you're spending 20 times as much on that clinic than you're spending on my clinic for the same, they better get 20 times the results or 20 times the speed of recovery. And our goal is to try to figure out how quickly can we get you better with the least out of pocket, the minimal effective dose where we can actually get you back on your life without derailing your life, so to speak, financially. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to create this collaboration with medical doctors and neurologists where we can be in that window when they say, well, there's nothing we can do. We want them to say, there's nothing we can do, but you should try this clinic over there. They're gonna do a comprehensive rehabilitative approach, and they'll be able to help exercise your brain in a way compared to where your baseline is right now.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, too, talking about, you know, how quickly you can get someone better. And I know for me, I think I did a 2 week intensive when I originally worked with Jeremy. But he does a week, anywhere from 5 to 8 day intensives. And, you know, I think the majority of functional neurologists are set up this way because, you know, I would go every day for three sessions per day. And the objective is to really work the brain and get it refiring and rewiring.
Boot camp.
Yes, yes. And particularly for people traveling from out of state, right? Because you're not just going to come for one treatment. You know, like that would be a waste of money, really. And, you know, So it is a little bit more expensive than, say, traditional medicine, but only because we've become accustomed to our insurance paying for everything. So when you go to that neurologist and you only pay a $30 copay for, you know, a couple grand of treatment that, well, I won't even say treatment, diagnostic, I guess, right? You know, people don't see that. And so
they don't realize that they paid $30 right. for 7 minutes of their time, when in reality they pay their insurance included paid anywhere between $300 to $3,000 for 7 minutes of their time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
There's a huge, when it comes to that, we're actually a more competitive price than some of those hospitals and some of those medical doctors, just because when you're seeing a person for 90 minutes and all our follow-ups are based off of 30-minute intervals, imagine the last time that you actually had somebody actually spending 90 minutes figuring out what was actually going on with you.
Yeah.
And
yep.
poking and prodding and really testing you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know that people get really frustrated, you know, the functional neurology, you know, for the most part isn't covered by insurance. Some insurance does reimburse portions, but, you know, for the most part, you're paying out of pocket up front. And, you know, that turns a lot of people off. And, you know, it's not functional neurology's fault that our healthcare system's broken in the U.S., which, you know, is a whole other story. But
in our clinic, we found a decent workaround for that to help our patients. So in our clinic, we are out of network. So mm-hmm. patients can come to us and we will provide a super pill, which
yep.
is a fancy receipt that not only shows that you pay, but also shows your diagnosis codes and the treatments that we provided. And we, even though we're not billing to insurance, we code everything appropriately. So that way our patients can then take that paper and on their own deal with their insurance company and get some reimbursement. However,
yes.
we have found that even some patients who don't have chiropractic out-of-network benefits, I forget what it's called, but insurance companies sometimes will allow you to use other out-of-network benefits. I had one patient who did not have chiropractic out-of-network benefits, but she had PT out-of-network benefits, and the insurance company allowed her to do it, and she got 80% reimbursement.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it just takes a little bit of a couple more steps, and the financial burden is easily taken care of, or at least mitigated
yeah.
in some way.
Yeah.
And but
yeah,
that's the goal. The goal is to get this covered by insurance. But at the same time, like when people say, well, can you call my insurance and find out what I need to do? I'm like, yes, but we'll charge you our hourly rate for it.
Yeah.
We don't
right,
want to deal
right.
with insurance.
No, no. And, you know, I found, you know, the vast majority of people do get some reimbursement, whether it's, you know, 10% or 80%. You know, I've heard of people getting their whole thing reimbursed, which is like amazing. But, you know, my point is, like, we've gotten so accustomed to our healthcare system and, you know, $20 copay, $30 copay, you know, and we don't think anything of spending that. And I know one woman, she kept track of all her copays for a year and a half of visits before she found functional neurology. And she had spent over $3,000 out of pocket just in copays. Right? Like, but you don't,
isn't that
you don't
crazy?
Realize what you're spending because it's, you know, $30 here, $30 there.
And you know, so, it's not even that. It's so much the entire healthcare system, because once you leave the allopathic system of, okay, this is what your insurance covers, then you start going into all these other systems. So when I was saying I was Dr. 20, not only is a bunch of medical doctors and PTs and you name it, therapists in there, but we also had people who were doing 2 years of acupuncture work that cost them about $2,500 over the course of 2 years. And then she came to our clinic and we were able to get her better in 2 weeks. And I think her out-of-pocket payment was about $1,100.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about like 1 month of actually somebody who's trained in concussion versus going to a practitioner who has treated patients who have concussion, which is a subtle difference. But it's a huge difference.
Yes.
Because when you're, it all comes down to where you're spending your money. And you want to spend your money as wisely as possible. And sometimes spending it on these intensives is going to be so much more effective than saying, well, I'm going to go, like, you ever hear the phrase, pinch a penny, lose a pound?
Yeah. Yep.
That's exactly what we're talking about. People who are afraid to sort of take the plunge and work with somebody who's actually trained in TBI, actually going to look at it with a comprehensive approach and figure out all these little particulars versus going to a person who, yeah, I've treated a couple people with, who have the diagnosis of concussion before. And so the difference is, are they actually working with the concussion? Are they just working with a person who may have had one in the past?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Huge distinction, right? Yeah, you know,
mm-hmm.
I was blown away, like I said, with the neuropsychologist who supposedly was their TBI expert, right? And my neurologist herself was supposedly one of the best in the clinic in dealing with TBI. And, I mean, I got nothing out of it. I mean, I got an MRI that told me nothing, you know. So, you know, and another point I also want to make is that the doctor works for you, not the other way around. And you have every right to ask questions and ask for better answers and to find other doctors. Like, if you don't like the doctor you found, you have every right to go to a different doctor. And don't be intimidated, you know, if they tell you, unfortunately, I've heard this a lot at Jeremy's clinic, that their neurologist is convinced they have MS, or, you know, some other neurological condition. And they tell them that they're going to go see Jeremy. And they're like, well, if you go see him, we're not going to treat you anymore. Like, we don't believe in functional neurology. And unfortunately, there's that attitude out there, first of all. But second of all,
why is there a belief system around this?
I don't know.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that reading research became a religion. Like, this is, there shouldn't be a, oh, no, we don't believe in this. There should be a, let me see what they're doing. Let me just chat with them on the phone and see if they're speaking the same language I am. Because we're not talking about energy systems or meridians or chakras or anything like that that really doesn't integrate with the medical system. And I'm not saying that those particular modalities are wrong in any way.
Right, right.
However, what we're doing is adjunctive medical care. It's right there with what they're doing. We're just looking at it from all the stuff that they learned in neuroanatomy and neurophysiology. We're just taking another look at it and saying, hey, maybe these little details might be important for this case. And if we put the pieces together and we start to see a favorable result, then maybe that was the appropriate way to go. And it's not a slight on the medical doctor saying that they don't know what they're talking about. It just means that we're part of the team. And we're helping that doctor get better results with their patients.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's all about getting the patients better. Patients over profits. Patients over ego.
Yes.
We don't talk about, oh, I got this person better. We talk about that person got better because they put in the effort. That's sort of where my business name doesn't really – isn't typical. It's not like Lovitz Chiropractic or Lovitz Functional Neurology, and it's not a business name that's like Brain Centers R Us or whatever you want to call it. It's Delta S Performance, and I'd like to explain why we call it that, because I think it's a huge part. So Delta S is the second law of thermodynamics, which is entropy. It means that all things in life go to a state of disorder if left alone. Think of your bedroom. If you just live your life day in and day out, your bedroom is going to get messy. However, you have to put energy into that system. You need to work into that system in order for your bedroom to stay clean. So that's what Delta S embodies, is in order, your health is not stagnant if you leave it alone. Your health will decline, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
If you just sort of live your life and don't pay attention to it. However, if you pay attention to it and if you put work into it, then you can get it to improve. And that's the whole thing. In our clinic, it's not about what we did. It's about all the work that the patients put in. because that's what those the patients that get the best results are the ones that come in ready to go. They follow our recommendations. They work with us to with open communication to tell us exactly what their feelings and what they're what they've experienced. So we can be here to actually put the puzzle together, and with them, it's a team puzzle. Because I've had patients come in where they sit on the table and they kind of stare at me through the whole examination, and we're finding stuff left and right, but they're either smirking because they're like, this is a joke, or they're waiting for me to deliver health to them. When in reality, it's, I mean, I'm just one person. I mean, they can follow my thumb as much as they want, but they need to have some buy-in as well in order to actually achieve results. They need to work at it, and it's not easy. And I have a ton of respect for every TBI patient I've ever worked with because it's not easy to deal with these things. It's not easy to go through this life, and it's what really got me into this is working with people on benzo withdrawals because you talk about a person who's sort of been chewed up and spit out by a medical system because most people don't really recognize the amount of brain chemistry changes in that system. So it's every person has their own journey, and you can't sit here and say one person's journey is more or less rough than another person's journey because everybody's living their individual journey. But that's why it's a team approach. That's why it's about us all working together. That's why it's about us collaborating with the rest of the healthcare system, not saying we're better or they're better or anything like that. It's all about how do we get the best result for the patient as quickly as possible within reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, so like I said, I believe I did a 2-week intensive. And then you get sent home with follow-up exercises. And, you know, going back to what you're saying, like you'll get out of it what you put into it. And it was hard in the beginning for me to remember to do my exercises. And then once Jeremy figured that out, he would text me and be like, hey, did you do your exercises today? Oh, no, I didn't. I'll go do them right now. Right. And they literally took me, I don't know, 15 minutes a day. Like it wasn't time consuming. It was just, I literally would forget to do them. But as I continued doing my exercises over the next 6 to 9 months, so many more symptoms started dropping away. Right. Like, I mean,
isn't that crazy
improvement. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's good. We do that because we start our patients with a home exercise program right after that first appointment because so the way that we do our exercises at home, and I've seen a couple different clinics do it different ways. So, and there's pros and cons to all of them. In my clinic, we are focused on energy levels and metabolic fatigue, and we're focused on making it so stupid easy that anybody can do it. So, because we don't want somebody saying, because we've had some patients when we made it a little more complicated say, I feel like I'm doing one wrong. So they stop doing all of them because they'd rather not do it than not do it 100% perfectly. And in the world of brain rehabilitation, I mean, sometimes you're allowed to have a couple slip ups. There are certain things that we're looking for. They're like, okay, you can't do that. But most of it is just try to do it. So our exercises, we expect people to do them 3 to 5 times a day. And of course that means like most people do them once a day if they remember, or if they're like an athlete, they'll try to do it 10 times a day. And then we got to like say, oh, slow down. Not like that. And then we try to keep the entire exercise group under 3 minutes. Or for a more complicated patient, under 5 minutes maximum. We don't want them to be spending more than 5 minutes on these exercises. We want them to sort of set an alarm on their phone when they hear. They're like, all right, I'm just going to hop to a bathroom real quick, go into a stall, do all my exercises, and nobody thinks I'm looking weird. And then pop right out. Nobody knows any difference. They get their brain rehab in. It works out pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well... So, Dr. Lavich, we are just about out of time, and I want to ask you a final question, if you have any parting words of wisdom for our listeners.
Sure. Yes. That's a loaded, big question.
I know.
Okay. So, parting words of advice is remember how the brain works, it can constantly change. That means no matter how you're feeling right now, if you continue to work in the right direction, you will get there. It may take longer than other people. Don't look at your neighbor to see how they're recovering versus you, because everybody's an individual. That's the point of individualized medicine. Just keep doing your journey. Keep working hard at it every day. Say, what is one thing I can do today that will improve me today compared to where I was yesterday? Whether it's, hey, you know, when I get a burger, instead of eating the whole burger and fries, I'm going to get a burger with a side salad. That's one little thing you can do to improve yourself, and then every day you build on it. And sooner or later, instead of having these big, massive changes in your life, because we've all had a TBI and we know what a massive change actually feels like, and those are not comfortable to have, whether it's for good or for bad, massive changes are not good. So think one step at a time, one foot in front of the other, like what was that movie, What About Bob, Baby Steps?
I love that movie.
You need to put one foot in front of the other, little by little, and every day, in the beginning of the day, say, okay, what did I do yesterday? And then say, okay, what's one thing that I can, one small thing that I can either change or do today? It could be, hey, I'm going to make sure that I do my home exercise program today. Okay, I did it yesterday. I'm going to try to do it twice today. Or I'm going to try to really pay attention to it a little more and do that one time I do my home exercise program, I'm going to make it a little bit better. Nobody's expecting massive changes. And when we say, here are your exercises, nobody's expecting you to be like this patient. That's the reason why you're in the office. We're trying to improve it. So don't feel, You should feel okay with where you are right now, but also feel okay with working hard to improve it.
Yeah. And, you know, just baby steps. Everything is so overwhelming when you have a brain injury. So just taking it one little baby step at a time, that's a great way to look at that. So Dr. Lavich, thank you so much for being here today. This has been a pleasure chatting with you. And, you actually have 3 clinics now. You have Denver, Boston, and what was the third one?
Providence, Rhode Island.
Yeah, right. Okay. And your website is deltasperformance.com, which I do have that in the show notes in case anyone needs to go find that. They can find that in the show notes. So thanks again for being here today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode and got some really good golden nuggets. And again, you can find Dr. Lavich's website on the show notes, and you can check him out if you are in Denver, Boston, or Providence area. And just a reminder to join Amy's TBI Tribe on Facebook, a place for caregivers, survivors, and loved ones to connect with each other. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Amy Zellmer. Thank you all for listening, and thank you for being a part of my journey. Have a great day, everyone, and I will see you again next time.